And because it is kind of tricky. I mean, you know, I got one like 4 years ago. This is how we first met. You came to my house. My wife got me a pizza glass. You came and taught me how to use it. And it comes with an instruction manual.
It's one of the worst things that ever happened to me.
look where we've come since. All right, episode 63 of Chartered New Haven Pizza Show. What's going on? It's Kevin Begley, Frank Zapsky. We are less than a month away from the fourth year of the Connecticut Pizza and Brew Fest with Connecticut Basement Systems. I like a little drum roll there on the table. It's very exciting. We're getting down to the home stretch, Frank.
There's no turning back now, Kevin.
Right. We've been having meetings every week. We got one today.
Right after this.
Yeah. So we're setting up that pizza fest. It's going to be awesome. We're going to go through some of the questions we've been getting. So we've been getting emails, we've been getting Facebook comments, DMs on Instagram. So we're going to go through a bunch of that in this episode. And before that, we're going to talk about some topics that we've been meaning to get to, because we've had guests the past couple episodes, different places that are going to be at the Pizza Fest.
People actually want to be here.
Right. Yeah, to be our guest. Be our guest. Okay, so the first, we've been putting off these topics a little bit, so I kind of want to cover them. The first one, we talked about this on a recent episode before we actually tried it. The Trader Joe's viral Detroit-style pizza. So I had brought this up to you, and you hadn't heard of it at the time. And since then, we've both tried it. So we went and got it. We tried it. I tried it, like a month ago, and you said you tried it as well. So I want to give our honest review on the Trader Joe's Detroit-style frozen pizza. You go first.
So I don't like to diss anyone, you know, but I'll tell you that I was disappointed. In the nicest words as I possibly can. And you know me pretty well. I won't give you my complete opinion on it.
Right.
But it's just disappointing. It looked like a Detroit pizza.
Yep.
And it set up like a Detroit pizza, but it was, it was grade school.
Underwhelming.
Friday during Lent, you know, square or rectangle pizza.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it really was. And yeah, I was a little confused when I opened the box because they had that little silver pan with it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, am I supposed to use this? And so you open it up and you're right. It looks pretty good when it's there. Now, it's hard to have frozen pizza be really good. I mean, let's be honest. Like,
sure.
The only ones that really live up to it are like Carmine's who makes them and sends them to the grocery stores, but they make them at their pizzeria. So that is a little different. The big box, you know, sort of big company type frozen pizzas, national brands, it's hard to make it really good because at the end of the day, it's still frozen pizza, you know?
Right.
Now, I had a little higher expectation because this was like going viral and everyone was saying like,
yeah,
it's so
good. You oversold it.
I oversold it, yeah. So I got confused and I was like, what is this little tray? Like, am I supposed to cook it on it? So I ended up putting that on a baking sheet. Putting it in the tray because I'm like, oh, maybe it's for a reason. It'll crisp it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I made sure to cook it. I went by the box instructions. I didn't want to do it my own way.
Me
because
too.
Then I feel like I would have been, you know, almost, you know, it would have been cheating almost.
Right.
So I said, I'm going to do it the way they tell me on the box, put it in. The only thing I did different is I did the broiler, your little trick with the broiler to crisp it up.
Yep.
And it crisped it up a little bit, but not really. It was still very spongy, chewy.
Yeah. There's a word in Italian called mouchard. It was mouchard. That's what it was.
Now, you've been making Detroit style lately, so you're kind of comparing it to a really good Detroit style. So that's it was already starting behind the eight ball with you.
Yeah, and I even doctored it up. I put a little oil on it. I put a little fresh Pecorino Romano.
Okay.
And, I did exactly what you did. I followed the instructions. I followed the directions. I was a little bit, I couldn't immediately figure out that. But I'm like, okay, well, that's how they're going to get the bake on it. So the heat is going to attract to that little container. But the bottom line is, no bueno.
Yeah.
You know, listen, my daughter, I didn't even buy them. My daughter bought them. So, she asked me, because she was away, she asked me how they were. And I'm like, oh, they weren't really that good. And she even confirmed it. Listen, there's Trader Joe's. And there's New Haven Pizza School and Chard. And the point being is that they're a little bit bigger than we are.
Right.
But.
And like for kids, like I get it. Like so what we did was we cut it up almost like an appetizer into like little squares.
Yeah.
And just kind of pulled from it. So yeah, it's fine for that. But if you're looking for like a really good Detroit style, you know, frozen pizza. Now, I haven't seen any other frozen Detroit style pizzas really. But it that style is really hard to do frozen, I feel like, too. Because to make that the crispy on the outside and kind of that airy on the inside is a tough, tough thing to make happen when you're doing frozen pizza.
I mean, the tough part about all that frozen stuff, I'm going to call it the really commercial frozen stuff. Because even Zuppardi's and Carmine's, you know, they're obviously in a lot of places, but they're still hand-built.
Yeah.
You know?
Real ingredients. They're just freezing it at the pizzeria and sending it out.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. You know, if I was over someone's house and I'm like, hey, we got this Detroit pizza from Trader Joe's, I probably would eat it.
Right.
Would I go out and buy it again or eat it again? No.
All right. That's our verdict on the Trader Joe's pizza. Worth trying. You should try it yourself and let us know what you think if you're watching and listening.
Absolutely.
But that brings us to the next thing about pizza in the summertime. Now, I've overheard a lot of people, now that we're in July, talking about, and it's ironic because we have the Pizza Fest coming up too. Well,
that's what I was going to say, but I don't want to.
Yeah. So, but I'm going to defend it. I've heard people say, like, you eat pizza in the summertime? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I eat pizza all year round. I don't care. It's not a seasonal food in my mind. Like, pizza places are open all the time. You know, kids have baseball games on Friday nights in the spring or summer league or whatever it is. You're getting pizza. Maybe you don't feel like cooking. You order a pizza. Most of the time, you're eating it in the house. Sometimes you eat it outside. Sometimes there's a pizza truck, you know, at a festival, whatever you're at.
Yep.
But for some reason, now, I get it with other hot foods, like soups. I don't really eat soups in the summertime, besides like clam chowder. But pizza, even though it's hot, like it's hot right when you get it. And then it kind of gets to room temperature, you know?
Yeah, I agree. You know, like sports are seasonal. And I always say that pizza is our sport in Connecticut. It's 12 months out of the year.
Yeah.
It's game on 12 months out of the year, 52 weeks out of the year. You know, if you probably grafted and charted it, if you possibly could, you probably see, you know, ups and downs of consumption.
Yeah.
But I would say as a general rule, I agree with you 100%. There's no off season at all for pizza. And if anything, my guess, if I was a betting man, is that the summer you might actually see an increase because you've got a lot of people doing things together with families, and that it's really more of a family food.
Yeah, and I think the not wanting to cook with kids being home from school in the summertime is probably a big part of it too. You know, if it's a Friday night, you just order a bunch of pizzas. You know, that's a little easier to do than, you know, during the school year. You know, you're not ordering pizza. And it's easy to order for a big group. So, like, if you have a bunch of people over on the weekend, whatever it might be. But, yeah, I agree. Like, certain food, like lobster rolls, for example, I only eat those in the summertime. Like, seafood restaurants have them all year round, but I only eat them in the summer.
Yep.
That's just, like, a personal preference. Whereas pizza, I've never thought of it as seasonal. So I thought that was kind of funny. You know, I was even up on Cape Cod over the 4th of July, and we had pizza one night.
Oh, boy.
And
how'd that go?
It wasn't bad. There's a place that is
in the Commons.
I've been up there. It's sort of near the Commons. It's in like the Pompanesset area. I know there's certain places that are good and certain places that aren't good. I've been up there enough at this point that I know which places are decent. Now, are you getting world class pizza? No, but for the Cape, I know which ones are worth it.
Yeah.
But yeah, pizza year round food in my book.
I've had some of the worst pizza ever in my life at the Cape.
Really?
And I love the Cape. We won't go any farther than that. But yeah, so I agree. No off season for pizza without question. And that's where I'm sticking there.
Now, something that I think was probably in the summertime, correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw a post you put up on Facebook about the pizza fritta.
Frita.
Frita.
Pizza frita.
Pizza frita. And that's how you originally got like started in your whole journey of pizza back in the 80s, right? Tell me that story of the picture you posted.
So the story of the picture I posted was I posted a picture of a pizza frite fried dough. And you can buy it two ways. One with sauce and cheese, or the other one is with confectionery sugar. So it's either a dinner or a dessert.
Yeah.
Or some people got both, for one for dinner, one for dessert. It's really, if you look in the history of pizza, it's one of the things that the immigrants, even when they were in Italy, did a lot more than baked pizza. Because if you think about it, to make baked pizza, you have to have an oven.
Right.
And a lot of these immigrants didn't have really much. So it was a lot easier to get a pot and some lard or some oil and fry it up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
So, yeah, I mean, there was a picture of a pizza ticket back from the 80s. My buddy Tom Stone, shout out to Tommy Stone, from West Haven in Notre Dame. His parents, I believe they were the ones who sold the tickets. So had a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I started. It was 1 week out of the year.
Yep.
All the Catholic churches in at least what's called West Haven, but they were all over Connecticut, all over New England.
Yeah.
You know, they had carnivals once a week every year. Our week was always 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
So me and a couple of my buddies, the Grillo boys, we would go in every morning, get the dough going.
Nice.
We would grate the cheese. We would make the sauce. And then we would leave, come back around 5 o'clock, because I think the carnival started at 6, and we'd be out there frying pizza and ladling it and selling it. And it was...
That's like your original pizza fest.
Yeah, 100%. And I could envision myself in the back corner. I know where the pizza tent was. It was the same place every year.
Do they still do those carnivals now or no?
I think they're all gone.
Yeah, yeah. But that's such a great memory, because then you went on to obviously make pizza and stuff. I feel like, have we had pizza frita at the Pizza Fest in the past?
I think we did a couple of years ago. I think one of the Bernardo family, the one of the sisters had a fried dough truck.
Oh, okay.
And I'm pretty sure that we did have that. I don't think she does it anymore.
We should... I don't know if anyone's going to have it this year, but we should do an episode where you make me some pizza fritas.
Yeah.
Because I've never had it. I've had the dessert version, obviously, at fairs and carnivals and stuff like that with the powdered sugar. But I've never had the real pizza one. I need to try that.
Well, I'll tell you, and we're obviously going to do it, but real simple. If you take my dough recipe.
Yeah.
So instead of making 300 gram dough balls, you make 1, 2, 3, 4, you make 650 gram dough balls. And you basically take a pan. You put some vegetable oil in it, probably about halfway, 375, 400-ish, or say medium to 3/4 hot. And you let it start to, you know, you let it heat up 15, 20 minutes, the oil, and you literally stretch the dough like you know how to stretch it, and you put it in the frying pan.
Oh, okay.
And it browns.
And then that's it.
That's it. You turn it over a couple times. The one thing about the pizza frita or fried dough is that, like with our pizza that we make, pizza goes on room temperature, cooks in the oven. Well, you've got to obviously warm up some sauce.
Yeah.
So that's the only bigger, you know, it's the obviously
you gotta
there's
warm
fried
up the sauce for the frites.
Right.
Pizza frites.
Exactly. Frita.
And then it's pecorino on top?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Parmesan, you know, or whatever Parmesan, hard. Yeah. Yeah. And so to that note, the woman that ran the whole place for us, she was an old Italian immigrant woman, and when we were good boys, which means we didn't give her a heart attack, she would make us stuffed pizza feet or little stuffed calzones.
Oh, nice.
And what I found out was that is really traditional in Italy.
Oh.
So we would, you know, she would, we would stretch out the dough for the pizza feet. We put some bregotta in there, some mozzarella, some salt and pepper. She'd fold it over, kind of like a calzone, and we would go out and we would fry them before people came, and it was a real treat.
That sounds
and
delicious.
It was really good. Basically, it's a fried calzone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is.
That's awesome. Well, I got to try one of those. We're going to do that in one of these episodes after Pizza
Absolutely.
Fest. there were some famous faces in New Haven. This happens all the time, but this one kind of went viral. Two of the Yankees superstars, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, we're at Modern in New Haven of a couple weeks ago, and I saw the picture, and now I'm a Red Sox fan, so I see that picture, and I'm like, ugh, what are these guys doing in New Haven? Like, New Haven's, in my mind, is more northern Connecticut. Like, go back down to Fairfield County. And then in my head, I'm like, it was the weekend that the Yankees were playing the Red Sox up in Boston. And I'm like, wait.
They probably.
Are they on the way up there? Like, that seems weird, though. And it was like, it was one of the days, I think it was like the Friday night or something.
Yeah.
So the games were already happening. I'm like, did they come down here?
Yeah.
And then I looked it up and researched it, and they're both on the injured list. They're both out. But then I was like, wait, even though they're on the injured list, they don't travel with the team. They're just going to get pizza? I guess that's the best time to get pizza when you're an injured athlete.
Well, there was some controversy, too. I saw some of the comments because I guess Aaron Judge is a big guy. And the person he was standing next to isn't now. There's all kinds of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
I'm not a baseball guy at all. I don't care about the Yankees or the Red Sox or whoever else. I don't really care. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah.
I used to be when I was younger. I still have all my old baseball cards. But yeah, I mean, obviously I know who Aaron Judge is.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny that it's like in season and they're like going to get the pizza. They probably said to each other, like, we're injured. We can't go anyway. So, like, let's go get some pizza in New Haven. Because they never get to do it otherwise because baseball's like such a long season. Like, they got to stay in shape. But now that they're injured, they're like, let's do it. Let's go on a food tour.
The question is, did they bring it back to their teammates?
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so. I do know the Red Sox swept the Yankees. Even though the Red Sox are terrible this year, that weekend, they won all four games, I think it was. So that was a little bright spot in the season for the Red Sox, but we'll save that for our baseball podcast.
Nah.
This is still pizza. So let's move on to the Pizza Fest. So Connecticut Pizza and Brew Fest, August 2nd. It's coming up soon, less than a month. Connecticut Basement Systems, our big sponsor this year, so thank you to them. Tickets on sale, by the way, ConnecticutPizzaAndBrewFest.com. Now, we've gotten questions. You know, every year we start getting people emailing. They send us DMs. You know, how do we get tickets? Where do we get tickets? What are the prizes? So I wrote down a bunch of the questions, and we're going to go through them and give the answers. So now we have meetings every week about this Pizza Fest, which we were joking at the beginning of the episode.
Went from months to weeks now.
Yeah, we have one coming up. So we're constantly, you know, hammering down these details right up until the day of the Pizza Fest.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, some of these things might change by the time the Pizza Fest comes, but for the most part, we have a lot of the details ready.
Well, that was a pretty good disclaimer right there.
Well, you never know. You know, these things are ever changing. So let's go to the first question. Let's see. Pizza Fest questions. Okay. If I buy VIP, this has been a big question. If I buy VIP, what do I get? How is it different from GA? If you've never been to the Pizza Fest in the past, this is the fourth year we've done it. The VIP ticket, which is $50, gets you in an hour early normally. We actually extended that this year to an hour and a half early.
I thought you were going to let me answer the question.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding. We'll do every other one.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
okay.
Keep going. You're on a roll. I just had to give you a hard time.
But talk about the VIP a little bit. Like, you know, we've seen it in the past. You know, people love that because, you know, the crowds do show up, obviously, for GA. So you get a little early access.
Yeah, I mean, it's $50 a person. It's an hour and a half, basically, of eating pretty much all the pizza you can eat, and I believe free beverage samples.
Yep, it's free cheese samples. So, like, all the pizza trucks are ready with free cheese samples, so you can try them all, which I always say, if you're going to try a new pizza place, try the cheese first.
Yeah.
Because then you get a gauge of how their pizza is. And then once it opens up to GA at 1 o'clock, they can serve whatever they want on their menu.
Right.
Now, we had Mackenzie in here from the parlor in Stratford, and he said
he let the cat out.
He was like, yeah, we're supposed to serve those, you know, sample slices. But he's like, I was just cooking up pizzas. So you might get lucky, and some of these places might serve you a real slice. So that's another little tidbit for VIP. But yes, you do get the free beverage samples all day, but in the VIP as well.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing, there's two big things. One, you get in there before everyone else, so the line's a lot shorter. And two, you get basically eat as much pizza as you can for free. Well, not for free, for your ticket in an hour. And then obviously you could stay the whole rest of the fest. You're not going to get kicked out.
Right. That was another question that kept coming in. Like, do I have to leave at one? It's like, no. You buy that VIP, you're there with us the whole day. Experiencing everything too. The live music, the panels, all that. We'll get to the details on that in a bit. Okay. So GA, what if I don't want to pay $50? I pay $10.
$10.
$10 is a great price. I mean, what can $10 is almost the price of a coffee nowadays at some of these coffee places. Now GA, so if I buy GA, what does that get me, Frank?
GA basically gets you in the door, baby.
Yep.
It gets you a day out from your house. It gets you free music, live music. Who's the band this year?
Rum Runners.
So
the best. That was a question too. So I got a little more on them coming up.
Yeah.
And the question about the slices, so $10.
$3
a slice.
Cheese slices. Mozzarella. Right.
Yep. And, you know, $3 a slice, it's pretty good when you think about if you're going to these pizza places and you're almost paying, I keep saying you're almost paying for the convenience of all the places being in the same place. Because if you try to go to all these places, in a weekend or in a month or whatever. You're driving all over creation going to them. And this way, they're all right there for you.
People either get it or they don't.
Right.
You know, I mean, $10 admission is basically pretty much giving it away. I'm going to tell a very short story. It has nothing to do with pizza, but okay. It's relevant. I was in 7-Eleven a couple days ago, and every once in a while, I have a craving for a Häagen-Dazs ice cream, so I go to 7-Eleven, and I was there. So the gentleman in front of me, older gentleman, he's got a $100 bill in his hand, literally, you know, obviously cash, $100 bill, and he gets three packs of cigarettes.
Ooh.
Now, I didn't know what cigarettes cost, but it was like, I want to say $20 a pack. Ugh. Or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, you know, this just triggered this conversation. I'm like, this guy's paying almost $100 for three packs of cigarettes. And to your point, like $10 to get in is nothing.
For a full day event. And that kind of leads to
half our- Half day.
Half day. I count it as a full day. I mean, so that leads to our next question. How long can I stay at the festival for? So if you do VIP, 11:30 to 4, 4 is the end point. Now it kind of trickles out at the end. But in my mind, like you get there just a little bit before 11:30 if you have VIP. You stay till 4 o'clock. You're probably leaving by 4:30-ish. Like that's it is a half day, but that's like kind of a full day of entertainment and fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the best scenario would be the VIP. You come, you eat the free sample slices. You also can taste. There are beverage samples as well.
Yeah, 21 correct? Plus, right?
Yeah, 21 yeah. plus for that.
Beer, seltzers, yeah.
So you go there, hour and a half, you do that. You watch the band, another hour, and rolling into the two things that I do, the demos.
Yeah, yeah. So real quick before that, people were asking who's going to be there. So, you know, now all this information is on the website as
right.
well. So you can see it all there if you want to look it up, ConnecticutPizzaAndBrewFest.com. I'm going to go through the pizza trucks real quick. You know, we've talked about on episodes in the past that the first year we had like 25 trucks and it was like so many. So, yeah. And then the next year we kind of dialed it back to like 12 and it wasn't enough. So now we settled around 16.
Yeah.
So I think it's the sweet spot. So we got Alphonse's Italian Street Food.
AJ, baby.
Love it. Big Green Truck Pizza, who have been there every year, I think.
They started it all.
Yeah. Colony Grill's there this year. They've been there some years and not others. I think they were there last year.
I'm so happy to have Colony.
I am a Colony fan. I go every year on my birthday, which is coming up, by the way.
I like Colony. Yeah. I couldn't eat it all the time.
Yeah, it's a different style pizza. You know, that's the best part of this pizza fest. It's not just all one style. You can try a bunch of different ones. That's the bar style that I kind of grew up on in Massachusetts.
Bingo.
Frank Pepe Pizzeria, of course.
Yeah.
They're going to be there. Grand Beats. I mean, these are like heavy hitters who are going to be there with Grand and Pepe's. Little Italy Pizza Truck. Love mm-hmm. them. Our buddy who was just on, Inferno of Beats out of Wallingford. That kid, Mike, is his name? Yeah. He's like the future of pizza, I think. He's like 21 years old running those pizza trucks. It's great.
He's super impressive. A fine young man. He gets the business side of it, which a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's cool to see someone like him who's got obviously a lot of passion.
Yeah.
You know, and he's in a short amount of time. I mean, he's growing it pretty big. So.
Yeah. If you haven't watched that episode yet, go watch it before.
And his pizza's fantastic.
Yeah, it's good. Go watch it before the Pizza Fest, and then you can see him at the Pizza Fest. Nona Lucia's, am I saying that right? Nona Lucia's Delicious. Great name.
Yeah. So I've never tried that, but in talking with them, they're like little dough bites. Maybe dough,
like dough pizza
dough
bites,
donuts, or
almost
something.
Like a pizza frite that you were talking about.
I think very similar, and I really want to try those because she showed me some pictures of what she does, and
I'm excited about that.
It's really good.
And then Slice of New Haven, who won Best Slice a few years ago.
Yep, shout out to Vinny.
Yeah, Vinny. So they're going to be there. By the way, we'll go back to the QR codes on the tables to vote.
Yeah.
You just do a text vote. We didn't have that last year.
We had a little controversy
last
year.
How do we vote? Where do we go? So it'll be a little simpler this year. The Parlor, a pizza joint. Mackenzie, we had him on the show a few episodes ago, too. That's a great conversation, great episode if you want to go watch that. Mackenzie also has been there pretty much from the start.
Yeah.
Una Dolce Vita. That's the pizzeria in the Amp. So if you've ever gone to a concert there and you go get those slices right, it's like right near like the beer garden area on the right side.
Yeah, to the right of the stage.
Yep. So they're with us every single year. Great pizza there. Zupardi's of Beats, another huge one out of West Haven. Mr. West Haven right here. You know Zupardi's, of course.
Grew up on Zupardi's.
Yeah. And that truck, I love going to Zoo Party's, the actual pizzeria, because it just feels like the old days, and yeah. it's got those wooden booths. Yeah. Oh, it's the best. But there's something about the pizza truck that has the crunch of the slice coming right out of the truck. Oh, it's so good. So Zoo Party's, another heavy hitter going to be there. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, you know, anyone, especially on the truck side, you know, we've got the big dogs coming. We always do. And the one thing that I really have a lot of pride in is, outside of doing it with you guys, is, you know, I have several of the pizza truck owners come up to me and tell me, whether it's during, before, or after, they really enjoy coming to our event.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of events that they go to just because they kind of have to, need to, but a lot of people truly enjoy coming to our event. So that makes me feel good.
Yeah, it's always good when the pizza places are happy, like during the event too. Like they're not just showing up just to, you know, just because they have to,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Which is awesome. And then the brewery side of it, the brew part. Now, it's not just beer. It's a mix of all different beverages, 21 plus. You'll get a bracelet with your ID at the front. So some of the breweries, now these kind of become little last minute ones because you know how these breweries work. There's so many brew fests. They have their own breweries that they're running. So sometimes they'll you know, lock in a couple days before or the week before. But the list so far, some of the big ones, Bad Sons Beer Company, brewery out of the Valley. They're fantastic. Berlinetta Brewing out of Bridgeport, Down East Cider, Dudley Town Brewing Company, New Belgium, Pizza Wine. Remember we talked about Pizza Wine on the show?
They're coming, baby.
They're coming. Pizza, the little canned pizza wine to go with your slices. That's the best. I can't wait to try that. Ripe Juice Bar, that's like the mixer that people make margaritas and, you know, rum punches and all that. They're going to be sampling. Sierra Nevada, obviously a huge brand. Spikedale, the Long Drink, those have become popular lately. So, and then many more. We still have people getting signed up. So there'll be definitely a lot of places to quench your thirst at the Pizza Fest. And then a few more questions before we get to the panels. Is it just pizza? So a lot now, I don't know why you would come to a pizza fest and want to get something other than pizza, but it is a good question because we do have dessert, Michelle's Pies, who's always
love that place.
Yeah.
Love it.
Delicious pie. So if you have a sweet tooth, Michelle's Pies. Now, some of the pizza places offer dessert stuff too, right? We've seen in the past.
Yeah, I think some of them do. Whether they're gonna do it at the fest, I don't know. But the one thing that they are gonna do, some of them are gonna offer gluten-free options.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. That was another thing that people kept asking.
GF, baby.
Gluten-free, yeah. So some of them have told us, confirmed, they will have gluten-free pizza and dough and on a separate part of the oven and everything. So
we're trying to make everyone happy.
Yeah, exactly.
How's that work?
Right. Well, pizza's a good start because pizza usually makes everyone happy. And then live music. People are asking who's the band going to be. And we mentioned the Rum Runners, who, if you live in the Milford area or anywhere, really, anywhere around Connecticut, these guys, they're like the hardest working, like cover band, party band, whatever you want to call it. They work like 52 weekends out of the year. It's crazy. So
everybody's hustling.
The fact that we got them on an open weekend in the summertime is actually great. I just saw them in Milford at the fireworks a few weeks ago.
And they bring a good crowd with them as well.
Yeah, it's the best. They're so fun. And they play like every genre of music you could think of. It's just, and they're going to play two sets throughout the day. So that's going to be a blast too. Again, if you go to a concert at a venue or a bar, you're paying more than $10 for a concert ticket. Even if it's a band like the Rum Runners, you're paying at least $20, you know?
There's a lot of things I want to say about that, but I won't because we're on radio.
That's for our concert podcast.
Yeah.
Now, parking is the last question before we get to the panels. Is parking included? It is not included. It is $10. But feel free, if you're feeling adventurous, to go find parking around Bridgeport. There's obviously street parking. There's all sorts. You can take public transportation.
There's community parking lots.
Community parking lots. You could, you know, make a day out of it, go park somewhere and walk down to the Amp. My wife and I usually, if we're going to concerts at the Amp, we live near the Milford train station, so we just take the train down. That's always a good option. It's cheaper than $10. But again, $10 to park for the whole day, like, pretty good.
I'm not saying a word.
And now the panels. So we've had panels in the past. Now we're going to do a few Frank demo panels at the Pizza Fest.
Yeah, we've had you know, a bunch of different panels throughout our time doing this. And so this year I decided to do something different. So instead of having three panels, we're only going to have two. One of them is going to be my New Haven pizza style pizza making demo. 45 minutes. For the demo, and then I'm 15 minutes for questions. You're going to leave there with basically a cheat cup, so you can make this really easily at home. The basics I'm going to give you, it's a really good, quick, down and dirty, how to make pizza, how to make the New Haven style pizza. If you've ever taken my class before and want to come, it's a good refresher.
Yeah.
So that's the first demo. The second demo, which I'm really excited about, this is actually a new class that I started, basically Uni portable oven class.
Oh, you do this as part of the school now too?
Yeah. So I did one, the first one, 3 weeks ago. And then I announced another one in September and it's already sold out.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, a lot of people are frustrated with their Uni / portable ovens. It's not just for an Uni, but a lot of people have them. And so this class is a little bit different. And the demo obviously is going to be my three and a half hour class scrunched into 45 minutes.
Right.
But we're going to go over, you know, what's the oven that you bought and what pizza is it made to be used for? How do you cook New Haven style pizza in it? And we're going to end everything of that with an actual demo of me making a pizza in an Uni and not burning it.
And because it is kind of tricky. I mean, you know, I got one like 4 years ago. This is how we first met. You came to my house. My wife got me a pizza class. You came and taught me how to use it. And it comes with an instruction manual.
It's one of the worst things that ever happened to me.
look where we've come since.
Who would have thunk it?
It has an instruction manual and there's like YouTube videos and stuff, but it doesn't really... It tells you how to make the Neapolitan style,
right?
But it doesn't really give you the little ins and outs. So like you kind of need that expertise like you bring to the table to really like, how do you make New Haven style pizza? How do you control the temperature? You know, how do you use this thing to really make these pizzas not taste terrible and burn and all that? So that's going to be an awesome, awesome demo.
Yeah, they make a really good pizza. Uni's a great company. But I call it the Uni dance. You got to dance with it. If you don't dance with it, you're going to be upset.
And you're right. Like, there's a million of these pizzas now because now they're so popular. Like, a million companies make these pizza ovens, but they're all kind of similar.
Yeah. Basically, all kind of similar.
Yeah. And then we're going to do a live version of Chard.
Boom.
So, we're going to do the Chard podcast, the first ever. I think it's the first one we've done live somewhere, right?
Yeah, like, ever.
So, we've done them at like pizzerias, but, you know, it's like we're recording it for an episode. This is going to be, we're going to have a live audience. A live studio audience, and we're going to pull guests from the Pizza Fest. So, you know, in between these pizza places flipping pizzas, we're going to bring them over to the podcast and maybe get some other special guests, too, to come on with us. So I think that's going to be super fun.
Yeah, and I love the whole improv perspective.
Yeah, you know, we'll take questions, too.
I have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. And then that'll be an episode that comes out, obviously, after the Pizza Fest. But, yeah, we're getting down to it, getting excited. So everyone get your tickets if you haven't yet. Tell all your friends. Get them at ConnecticutPizzaAndBrewFest.com.
August 2nd.
August 2nd, Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. That's where it's happening. I don't even know if we said that throughout this episode, but you'll be able to. Yeah, there you go. That's where it's happening. We can't wait to see you all there. And there's also an Instagram of the Pizza Fest. So if you want to get information that way, you can follow Connecticut Pizza and Brewfest on Instagram too. So that does it for episode 63. We'll see you the next time. Well, the next time. No, we'll have one more before the Pizza Fest
episode. Yeah, one more.
All right. So, thanks. And remember, it's not burnt.
It's charred, baby.